You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
My name is Scott Campbell. I am actually the campus pastor at the Trenton campus, and it is my privilege to be able to be a part of that community, and it's an honor to be able to be here with you today. It's been exactly a year since I've been able to worship with you in service, and a lot's changed. We have three services over here now, and a lot of new faces, but there are some faces I recognize, and it's always great being able to catch up and see you all. But before we go any further, I just want to take a moment to pray, understanding that, you know, our body has limitations, right? And sometimes you have sicknesses and things going on, and I've been battling a little cold, and so my throat is on the verge of being like, we'll see how it goes. And I know that our body is limited, but our God is not. And my prayer is that we get through this. So if you don't mind, would you pray not only for this service and for the people listening, but also for this body as well. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the awesome opportunity it is to come together to worship your name. And God, I pray that throughout today, Lord Jesus, as we open your word, Lord, that we're not just here to hear a message, Lord Jesus, but we are here to hear your voice personally speak into our lives. And God, I thank you for that. Be glorified with everything that takes place. In your precious mighty name I pray. Amen. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed the sermon series Sabbath Rest. I know Sabbath could always kind of be an idea that, yeah, we think about it, we know about it, but we don't always live it out. And it's always a great reminder every single year that we are to take a moment, set it aside, and we are to dedicate ourselves, our lives, to growing closer in family and relationship with God. But today, we're gonna continue on this, but as Pastor Rocky mentioned at the beginning of this Sabbath series, it's not just trusting the Lord with the Sabbath of our lives, but it's also understanding what Pastor Zach talked about, that we are to be focused about getting rid of the distractions in our life. And last week, Pastor BJ encouraged us about engaging in worship through Sabbath. And today, we're going to bring it to a different maybe mindset that maybe some of us are familiar with. And it's the idea of this, that Sabbath is built for community. That Sabbath is built for community. And I'll be honest with you, if I think of Sabbath, Sabbath is something that I love, but community is not the first thing that I think about. When the first word of Sabbath comes to my mind, it is not community. It's probably not the second or third word that comes to mind. And in fact, if we were to do a Family Feud survey of 100 people and have them list their top five words that would describe Sabbath, we would find things like church, worship, Sunday, rest, holiness. That's your top five. And there's nothing wrong with describing your Sabbath in such terms. They do a great job at describing it. However, it falls short of the overall grasp of what Sabbath truly is and how God created it. And honestly, the closest word that the survey got to that was around number 40 when somebody brought the word out together. Yet, God held such a great thought about community in such a high regard that when he was weaving the fabric of time itself, he wove into it a space of togetherness. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and open them up to everybody's favorite book, Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. And it says this: there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is the day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. Now, some of your bodies might say a holy convocation, but that means a sacred assembly. And it goes on to say, you are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. The key word there being a sacred assembly. In Hebrew, this is Micra Kaddish. Micra Kaddish is just simply God designating certain days as sacred. And the first and foremost day that he designated as being a sacred day of assembly is the Sabbath. And then the rest of those would be the major Jewish holidays. It's things like Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. All of them, recognize this, all of them are calling for a sense of community that is fostering and social cohesiveness, a shared identity, and a religious solidarity. It is bringing everyone together in one accord for one purpose. And I kind of want to put a little side note out here because I know that I might be making some of my fellow introverts a little anxious about talking about a weekly God-ordained block party. But before you call mistletoe and before you make a way early exit out of here, you have to admit there are some things in life that are better together. They're better shared. Amen? Some of those things, and I'm just going to be, you know, real life practical, you know, first thing I thought of was a joke. A joke is always bettered when it's shared with somebody else. If you hear a joke, what is the first thing you want to do? You want to share it. I'll be honest with you. I'll be on my phone scrolling, and I see something, and I'm laughing. You know, you've been there. It's probably late at night. It's probably not that funny, but you're a little delirious, and you're seeing this, and you're laughing. And first thing I do is I send it out to people that I think that would enjoy that, and then I send it to my wife. And my wife makes fun of me all the time because this is what she says. I'll hear you laughing in the other room. And I know in just a matter of seconds, I'm about to get a notification that you sent me something. And then she looks at it and she says, it wasn't even funny. But jokes are always best when they are shared. Another thing that is great to share is a high five. Because just a high and five by itself is a little lonely. It's a little sad. Let's be honest. Have you ever been there? Maybe you celebrated a score at a game or there's a huge accomplishment that took place and you went to high-five somebody and that other person went the other way and you're just like, all right, yeah. You know, you kind of do that thing. People saw it. Someone saw it. When we get into heaven, he starts throwing out the screen of our life and it's projected up. We're going to see that moment where we're like, ah, and we're like, that's what I look like. Okay. Some things are better to high five. This is better shared with someone else. And another one that I love is food. Not necessarily sharing my food. My love language is acts of service, and sure, I'll share some of my food with you. I'm not that greedy, but I don't like eating alone. I don't like sitting at a table at a restaurant all by myself while I look around and everybody else has somebody to talk to, and I'm just whoop, whoop, whoop by myself. You know what I love doing, even when I'm with my family sometimes, and we'll all be on our phones in the restaurants, is I'll put my phone down first, and I'll sit hopelessly, you know, all by myself, looking at my family, is like, why don't you love me? Why don't you want to talk with me? Food is always better shared with someone else. The Bible tells us multiple times how life is better with people. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 tells us two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can only one stay warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And we see in God's word, the very first time that God refers to something not being good is in Genesis 2:18, when the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. From the very beginning, God highlights the necessity of companionship. It's important that we live this life out in community and in family. And if there's anything that I've learned by reading the scriptures and living a life for God is this, if that is God is for something, the enemy is going to be against it. And the enemy is desperately attacking the individual and the corporate body. The enemy hates our unity because he knows that the power of a united church can defeat him. Every time we gather in the name of Jesus, we're not just attending a service, we're advancing the kingdom of God. And the enemy wants nothing more to diminish that accomplishment. That's why I believe that the enemy is on full attack. He's doing everything that he can to come against us. He's trying his best to isolate and to control God's people. But how many of you know this? The schemes and the tools of the enemy aren't anything new. He's been doing this from the beginning of time. And if we go back, we can see just that Eve in the garden, how God, Satan tried to isolate Eve. The serpent approached Eve when she was apart from Adam and separated her thoughts from her husband's and God's direct command. He controlled her by questioning God himself, saying, "Did God really say?" Satan planted the idea of doubt, leading her into the act of deliberately disobeying and bringing sin into this world. We can see it again when Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, but it was during that time of isolation and 40 days of fasting that the enemy made his way beside Jesus, and that's when he starts throwing out the temptations his way. Satan tried desperately to control Jesus' authority and his purpose. There's a story in the book of Luke in chapter 8 where there's a man that is demon-possessed. And we can see how the isolation of this man, the Bible tells us that the man was controlled by the unclean spirits. He lived completely isolated, alone in the tombs, cut off from his family, cut off from his friends, cut off from his community. And the enemy had literal control over his mind, over his body, throwing him into fits of anger and rage, tormenting him where he was bound by chains, but he was able to break those things. He was driven to a place of loneliness. The enemy's attacks are endless. And if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that a lot of times when we mess up in our lives, it's probably when we were alone, physically or mentally, when we thought that nobody else was there with us and that we're living life all by ourselves and we got to do everything on our own accord. That's when the enemy loves to come in and start weaving some lies into our hearts and minds. The enemy loves to try to come in and plant seeds of doubt in our life. And he's doing such a great job at it. And we're probably not even aware of it taking place. You see it all around us, and it is especially in our modern culture and society of this world. And he's packaged it in the idea of individualism, where one person can do everything themselves and they don't need anybody else. It's with the intent of one building him or herself up, but it's actually suffocating them spiritually from what God has created them to live and to act. It's not just spread out in random little pockets of our communities and in our world. This is dominating. And you know, to the fact that we've even created little catchy phrases for them, like march to the beat of your own drum, cut from a different cloth, stand on your own two feet, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Inspiring as these may be, isolation is a real problem. Isolation is an issue in our world, so much that we're warned about it. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "He who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against the sound judgment." We all have done a really good job of allowing the enemy to separate and divide us at some point or another. And if you're here today and you're experiencing that and you feel like you're so alone and that nobody is able to comprehend exactly what it is that you're going through, let me tell you, you're not alone here today. There's people in this room that have walked through depression and loneliness. There's people that have conquered that lie from the enemy. And I want to tell you today that there is an opportunity and there is life in Jesus Christ. Pastor Zach hit it on a couple weeks ago about how our life can so easily distract us and how we can so easily isolate ourselves from our world that we live in and from our family and from our community. So much so that it just at one simple tap of a button that we could, boom, get anything that we want. We don't want to go to the store. We just type it up. Boom, done. Shop online, right? You don't want to cook. You don't want to get up and get dressed, right? You don't want to do those things. No problem. You just type your order in and hit the key and done. Uber Eats. Don't feel like sacred community. No problem. Done. Church online. But I do want to say this. If you're watching online today, that is not a knock against you. I want to make it known that online services have a purpose and have an awesome opportunity of sending the gospel forth to individuals that aren't unable to get to the community itself. But it was never created to replace community. It's vital that we get into the body and we start serving one another, that we start coming together, we encourage one another. That's what we are all about. Robert Putnam says this, that the ways of society is increasing living in isolation and individualism so much that he says this, that instead of going and having friends, we watch friends on TV. Think about that. We fill ourselves with things that we could actually go out and live, but we fill it with all this other stuff. Isolation is not only inhibits normal fellowship with others, but it impedes the mission of the church. That's why it's so important that we get involved in church. Find a direction team. Start serving somewhere. Be a part of a small group. Make relationships that will be there with you when you go in eternity. Don't buy into the lie of isolation. Lean into community. Jesus himself modeled the importance of it. And I would say this, if we were to take a snapshot of Jesus and how he constructed himself and how he lived out Sabbath firsthand, we would see Microcottage and what it looks like, this sacred assembly. We would be able to see everything that Jesus starts to do. We would see Jesus going and spending time with the Father and in time of seeking his will. We would see where Jesus is going into the synagogue and he's reading scriptures and he's worshiping and he's fellowshipping, but he's not just going there so that he can just check off a box because that was the norm of the day. No, he was going in because he was conscious about ministering to the people that was in his community. It's in that community, that sacred assembly where Jesus comes across the man with a withered hand and that man left made whole that day. He comes across a woman who had a crippled back and that lady was able to stand straight and walk out of that synagogue for the first time in many, many years. It was in that sacred assembly where Jesus is able to see that there was an impure spirit inside of someone. He spoke into that person and pulled out of that spirit. It was even when Jesus would leave the synagogue where he would continue this sacred assembly and he would go into people's houses and he would share meals and I would assume he would even share jokes and he would kind of just love the people that was around him, but the ministry didn't stop. He continued to heal individuals. It was in that moment that he sees Peter's mother-in-law sick and he goes and he heals her. If we take that little snapshot, of how Jesus did community on the Sabbath. How he didn't negate it, but yet he built it up. And if we take that snapshot and we compare it to the snapshot that we have of the early church in Acts chapter 2, we can see where the life and the love of Jesus Christ is continuing through the byproduct of sacred assembly, where they came together as one body, where they prayed for one another, where they encouraged one another, where they laid their hands upon them, and where people were healed. We see this time and time again in the scriptures, how God continued to move in their community. Sabbath is a time for rest, yes, but our rest was never intended to separate us. It reminds us that our Christian walk is not practiced alone, but it's practiced together. In a world that pulls us towards isolation, community calls us back into relationship. We pray for and we care for each other. We celebrate one another's wins, and we come across and we throw our arm around those who are struggling and hurting in life when the burdens are too much for them. It deepens our sense of belonging, and it reminds us that none of us are walking this path alone. But we have our brothers and our sisters in Christ right there with us. Sabbath is built for community.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.